Good morning. Today we're going to talk about two words, God's will. Now I know a lot of you are praying that it's God's will that there's no more cold weather, amen? Growing a little weary of that. We got a good crowd today. The past several weeks, we have not had pretty weather. But when I talk about God's will with my family, my mom always says, when she thinks of God's will, this is always what comes to her mind. This is God's will to her, Will Cooper. So in our family, it's always like, that's God's will, there's Will. Well, ain't he special? But here's the truth. Sometimes, if we're honest, we search really hard to know the will of God. And we should. We want to know his plan and his will for our life, what he would ask of us. You know, I've heard it said there was a young man who was a farmer who was seeking to know whether to keep farming or God was calling him into the ministry. So he asked God to give him a sign. And one day he's plowing a field and he looks up into the sky. And you saw this before. He sees two clouds and it looks like one cloud is a pea and one cloud is a sea. And so as he keeps plowing, he begins to think, well, maybe that's God speaking to me. Maybe that's my sign. PC means I should preach Christ. And maybe that's what I need to do. But then he starts thinking more. He's like, or maybe that's God telling me I should keep planting crops, right? Or pick cotton. And you know, we laugh and we think that's silly. But if you're honest, there's times in your life when you're wanting affirmation or a word from God or his confirmation. And we're looking for signs wherever we can because we just want to know his will and direction for our life. Or many times through the years, especially in church, we hear this, that somebody wants to know God's will. And so they're praying and they're seeking him. And they'll get God's word and they'll close their eyes and they'll start turning these pages. And they'll be like, all right, Lord, whatever my finger lands on is your will for my life. And, you know, we laugh, but that's what happens. I heard... One man that did that, and he closed his eyes, and he started going through the pages, and he landed his finger, and he opened it up, and he read the verse, and it says, Judas went out and hung himself. And he thought, that's not God's will for my life. And so he did it again. He's like, all right, God, I must have got the wrong page. I'll try this one. So he does it again. He goes down, and he reads it, and it says, what thou doest, do it quickly. And that's all funny, but there is probably a time where you have opened the Bible and pointed to Scripture saying, God, just give me a word. God, show me what you want me to do because I have no idea. Now, I don't necessarily recommend the just random pointing finger. Not that God's not going to use that, but there's the truth. God does speak through his word. When you open it and you chew on it and you pour it into your heart and you let it soak in and you meditate on it, he will reveal himself and his plan to you through his word. But we want to know God's will for our life. This is probably one of the biggest questions that we get in ministry is I just want to know God's plan. Somebody wants to talk, what should I do in this situation? I don't know what to do. How can I know that my decisions, my thought process is in the center of God's will? One of the most powerful Bible studies that I've ever done in my life, if you were to go in my office right now and look at my bookshelf, you would see numerous of the same studies that I've done through the years that I've saved because they've had such an impact on me. And it's Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. And actually, me and several guys are going to be leading this study here in just a few weeks for Roots. If you ever want a Bible study to even just do at home on your own, I really challenge you, if you've never done it, to go through Experiencing God. But what it says in that study is this. If you want to experience God, here's what you do. You find where God is moving, where God is doing a work, where people's hearts are being changed and transformed. You find where God's moving and you join him. But so many times in our life, we tend to have this approach. God, I'm doing this thing here. Won't you bless it? God, this is my plan for my life. This is what I'd really like to do. God, why don't you bless it? God, this is what I like. God, this is what I, me. This is what I want. Won't you join me over here? And we get it backwards. Church, it's not about us. It's not about our plans and our desires and our agenda. It was never supposed to be about us. It was We were created for him and his glory. What does God want? Not what does Chad want? What do we want? Church, where is God moving? What is he doing around you? Open your eyes and take them off yourself and see where he is moving and leading and join him there. God wants to use you to accomplish his plan. Moses was a veteran shepherd until he had an encounter with God and everything changed. David was the youngest son, and his family didn't expect him to amount to anything until a prophet visited his home and everything changed. Elisha was a farmer until he was called. Mary was preparing to be a small-town Jewish wife and mother until an angel appeared and her life changed. Peter and Andrew were fishermen until Jesus walked by their boat and their whole direction of their life changed. Saul of Tarsus was wanting to get rid of Christianity until he had an encounter on the Damascus Road and his whole life made a U-turn. For all of these and so many more, one encounter with God, one experience with God changed and transformed their lives. You see, we need to understand that God knows us better than we know us. You know, we think we know ourselves good. God knows us. He created us. The writer of Psalms explains this so well. Turn with me to Psalms 139. It says this: "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." He knows your quirks, your habits. He knows everything. And it says, "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely." It's kind of humbling, right? He knows what's coming out of our mouth. And it says, "You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" It says, "If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. For darkness is as light to you, for you created me in my inmost being." He says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Church, this morning, we got to realize that he knows us. He knows you. He knows how many days you have left. He knows how many breaths you have left. He knows in the future if you're going to deal with a sickness or an illness. He knows your struggles right now and your hang-ups. He knows your addictions and your anxieties and your worries. He knows your sins. He knows that part of your life that you've never told anybody about. He knows it all. And even in the midst of all that, church, he has a plan for you. And not just a plan, but he has an eternal purpose for your life. So much more than the here and the now on this earth that we tend to only think about the here and the now and we don't see the big picture. And church, his plan is so much better than ours. He sees it all from the beginning to the end. And Jeremiah talks about this. I'm sure numerous, if I were to ask you in the room, many of you would say this is one of your favorite verses in scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. It says this: "For I know the plans I have for you. I, the Lord, have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart, with all your heart." And he says, "I will be found by you, declares the Lord. and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place which I had carried you into exile. So many think and have this view of God that God is just not for them. Many today in this world think that God is just a judge. And don't get me wrong, God is a judge. And one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. All of us will stand before a holy and righteous judge, and we will give an account for our life. But, church, don't miss that he is for you. That God's desire is that you be prepared to meet him on that last day when you stand before him. And he is a lot more concerned with our character and our heart than our comfort. And church, he wants to prosper you and not to harm you. He wants the very best for you. It's Jeremiah says, he will listen when we pray. We will find him, but we must seek him with all of our heart, with all of our might, everything inside of us. We must pursue him. And here is what is crazy. He loves us and he pursues us. Many of you know, if you're honest, that through the years of your life before Christ, that there's numerous years I know for me that he pursued me, that you know he pursued you. We're just hard-headed, and a lot of times we just ignore and we push off, and you think of all the signs of everything that he was doing in your life that brought you to him. It's his desire to have a relationship with us, and that's what love is, and he's not going to make us follow him. He has an amazing plan for our life, but we have this choice. We have this free will. He's not going to make us follow him. He's not going to make us do things his way, even though his way is so much better. We tend to like to do things the hard way. In my house, we usually say this. All right, boys, usually my daughter's still pretty innocent in a lot of it. She's starting to get a little bit. But boys, a lot of times we have this conversation. Boys, we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. Some of y'all say, yes, I've had to say that before. But I feel like that's us with God. He's like, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. And we're hard-headed, and we like to take the long way to get home. And the sinful nature kicks in, and we choose our selfish human desires because why? We think we know best, right? We tend to be know-it-alls. And there are so many that are in danger of missing out on this beautiful plan that God has for them. But it's not because of God, because God is good. And God is faithful and he is true. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the what, church? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God that was there in Genesis when the world was created. He is the same God that allowed his son to die on the cross for us. He's the same God that's coming back again. He's the same God that's working in your life. And he hasn't changed, and his goodness and his faithfulness hasn't changed. But we need to realize his standards haven't changed either. His word hasn't changed. They are still true. And contrary to the world and what this culture says, God's word is still true. It's still relevant. It's still as true as it was several thousand years ago. And it still speaks to us, and it still has power. James 1:16, he says this, so don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father who created all the lights in the heavens. And it says this, he never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. He doesn't change. His goodness doesn't change. His love is unwavering, and it's true. He doesn't go against his nature. But don't misunderstand me, church. We are unfaithful. We are sinful humans. What did he talk about last week in his message? Be sure and go listen to that if you didn't. We are many times an adulterous people. We are many times unfaithful in this relationship that we have with God. We are wavering. We are not the same. We are sinful and we are broken. And so why are we in danger many times of missing out on God's will for our life? Because we have our plans, right? We have our agendas. We got our priorities. We have what's important to us. And I have my dreams. And they might be a little different than what might God have in store for me. It's about us. And we're so easily deceived. And many times we listen to the lies of the enemy. It all started in Genesis. It's been going on since the beginning. What did the serpent tell them? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Where Adam and Eve thought that they knew better than God. That's really what it boils down to. They thought, well, my will and my plan for my life is really probably better than God's plan, right? Genesis 3, starting in verse 1, says this, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?' 'Of course, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden,' the woman replied. 'It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat.' God said, 'You must not eat it or touch it. If you do, you will die.' 'You won't die,' the serpent said to the woman. 'God knows that your eyes will be opened, and as soon as you eat it, you will be like God, knowing both good and evil.' And the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruits looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her, so she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. And at that moment, their eyes were opened, and suddenly they felt shame and their nakedness. And so they sewed fig leaves to cover themselves. And when the cool evening breeze were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord called to them, 'Where are you?' He replied, 'I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked.'" And then we go down to verse 23. We're going to skip a few verses. And verse 23 says this, "So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made." It's where it all started. Adam and Eve, like us today in this room, had a choice. My plan or God's plan? Either I'm going to believe what God says is true or it's not, right? Because really what Adam and Eve was saying, well, God don't really mean that, or God's really not telling us the truth, or he's hiding something. They didn't believe him. Or either we're saying God's will for my life or my will for my life. It's not complicated. They thought that they knew better. And it's how it's been since the creation of the world. We want to experience God. We say that we want to know God, and we want to know his will for our lives, but we'd like to do it our way. God, I think I know best. God, I want to do this. God, I'd really like to try that fruit if you don't mind. I think it'd just be best for me if I do, right? Many of you can think of circumstances in your life where you thought, I think this will be the best decision, and it went up in flames, right? If Adam and Eve could only see God's plan was so much better. They were with God in the garden. And they traded it all for what? Some false promises from the enemy. And so many now trade it all for lies from the enemy. They miss it, and they never experience God's will for their life. Here's the truth. Many will live a great life. Many will come to church, have a religious life, they would call it, and never experience God. Many will go to church their whole life and never truly experience God and know him. They know about him. They might even know some words in this book, but they haven't experienced a relationship with him. I ask you this question, and ask yourself right now in your heart of hearts, have you experienced God? Have you experienced God? Have you felt his power in your life? Have you seen him move? Have you seen him provide in your life? Have you seen him deliver you? Have you seen him reveal himself to you and his plans? Have you seen him speak to you through his word, through prayer, through others? You know, many say that they love God. Many say they love God. The truth is, you can't truly love someone if you don't know them. How did you come to love your spouse, right? By coming to know them, by spending time with them. How did I come to love my wife? By knowing her, I've grown to know her more. And because of that, I love her more. It's the same thing that happens through our marriages. It's the same in our relationship with Christ. To love him more, you must know him more. And that only happens by knowing him and experiencing him. John talks about this knowing God when he gives the words that Jesus said. He talks about this eternal life. In John 17, it says this: after saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him." And church, don't miss this. "And this is the way to have eternal life." This is the way to have eternal life: to know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. "I brought you glory here on earth by completing the work you gave to me. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began." All right, this is Jesus talking, these last words. "Father, bring me into your glory we shared before the world began." Jesus is talking about how he was with God the Father before the creation of the world. He says, "You want eternal life? Know him. Know Jesus." Not about him, but know him, experience him. This is how we have eternal life. So I want to know him. I want to know his will, and I want to know his plan for my life. Many have attended church their whole life and have heard about God, but they have never experienced him. They have never had a personal relationship with him. They have never heard his voice. I'm not saying he's going to speak audibly to you, but he will speak to you through his word. He will speak to you through circumstances. He will speak to you through prayer. And if we have not heard from him, church, how will you ever know his will and his plan for your life? We just don't flip a coin and say, "Well, heads, I guess it's God's will I should take this job. If it's tails, I'm just going to say no." Or, "Heads, I guess I should probably marry this person. Tails, it's probably not God's will." I ask you, do you go to God before you make decisions in your life, big or small? Do you lay them at his feet and say, "I'm going to pray about this before I make a decision, because it's important that I know that I'm in the center of God's will"? And I know that there's a lot they'll say, "No, I usually just make my decision. It sounds good." And I say, "God, I hope you bless it." Right? And we wonder when we get way down the road how we got where we are. It's because we made a bunch of turns this way and this way and this way, and we never consulted God. We did things our way, and we see where it gets us. Church, when you seek him, he will open and close doors that you have never paid attention to. You know, our goal here at Nineveh is not that you know about God, but that you know him personally, that you and your family would know his beautiful and perfect and pleasing will for your life and your kids. It matters. And here's the truth. There is a big difference between the life of someone that says that they know God and the life of someone who has experienced God and walks with him daily and knows him deeply. When you experience him in that way, church, you will never be the same. And many of you understand that. Scripture says that God is our comforter, for example. But you wouldn't really know that until you have experienced loss or trouble or sorrow in your life and you needed his comfort, right? And he met you where you were. There are many of you who have experienced great loss and you have experienced the God, the comforter. In the valley of the shadow of death, there's many of you that's lost loved ones that you care deeply about. There's many of you that's faced numerous trials and hardships in your life, and God met you where you were, and you experienced this comforter. And because of that experience, you'll never be the same. I want to share with you this morning someone that goes to Nineveh who is experiencing God powerfully in their life right now as they face trials and sickness. Turn your eyes to the screen this morning.
Hiya, my name is Michelle Adams, and Chad has asked me to share a little bit of my story with you guys. And we have been attending Nineveh for like over 20 years. And we have three boys and daughter-in-law and granddaughter. And life was going pretty good until about maybe the 1st of September. And what turned into a routine mammogram ended up in a cancer diagnosis. And so that's when our whole entire world just kind of shifted and everything went into overdrive. So a little bit about that story is when I was first diagnosed, it was hard. It would be hard on anybody, no matter where you are in your faith. But it was hard. It was a hard diagnosis. And we were completely gripped with fear, didn't know where to turn or what to do. And it was a hard time. It was a hard time. One thing they don't tell you when you're diagnosed with cancer is it's, you know, one of the hardest parts is going to your family members and looking at them and know that you're going to tell them something that's going to grip them with fear too. And I was pretty desperate for answers, looking around at doctors and nurses and as one does for answers. And so it was some pretty dark days for a couple weeks. I remember right before it turned around, making a phone call to my nurse navigator, and I had not eaten or slept. I don't know how many nights it was, you know, laying in bed, crying, trying to figure it all out. And I made a desperate call to my nurse navigator, and I told her that if she didn't get me some help, didn't get me some answers, that she wouldn't have a patient to treat. I was just kind of dying on the vine. And that night, I prayed the most desperate prayer. I think it might have been the first time I prayed. Laying in bed, as you're laying in bed at night, you know, the enemy kind of does his thing and whispers in your ear, you know, and grips you with fear. And that night, I told God, I said, I need you. I can't see you. Can't feel you, and intellectually I know you're there, but I need you to show up. I need you now more than ever. Do I need you now? I need my footing so I can tell my family, and I need you. And that's it. It was a very short prayer. And the next day, my nurse navigator called. She's like, you know, we're going to put this port in so we can do this chemo. You need to go get some button-down shirts so we can access your port. And so I went out in public for the first time. And I'm in Walmart and not trying to make any eye contact with anybody because, frankly, I didn't want to talk to anybody. And around the corner come a lady from church, and she made her way over to me, and she asked me how I was doing. And what a loaded question. How am I doing? And I just broke. I broke right there. I told her that I had been diagnosed with cancer. And I just started crying. And she grabbed me up with a great big smile on her face. And she said, "You have forgotten who you are and who you serve." And she prayed with me. And I cannot tell you, it felt like a 1,000-pound backpack had been taken off my back. My whole attitude about the whole thing changed in that instant. And I knew God had heard my prayer, and I knew that He was sending me His hands and feet. So I left out of there with a complete different attitude. I mean, a complete different attitude. I had friends that were showing up. My friend Barbie showed up with this devotional that I started doing every morning. And it wasn't too long after that, she showed up with this awesome, awesome Bible study, The Armor of God by Priscilla Shire. And I went on offense, you all. I put on that armor of God and I started praying. He started sending me people. You know, God was not only showing up, he was showing off. He was showing off. And I was humbled and grateful. And it was at that point that I knew God had a plan for my life, and that his plan, although I didn't understand it, that he had a plan for me. He would not have just pulled me into this and not saw me through it. So my prayers started changing. It wasn't about, Lord, heal me, all about me, all centered around me. It was about giving me a testimony. It was about glorifying his name and furthering his kingdom and encouraging others. And all that came from a desperate prayer in a desperate hour. And one of the scriptures that come to mind was Jeremiah 29:12, which reads, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And that is so true. If you seek him with all your heart and you cling to him, he will come nearer to you. And as I reflect back on all of it, I guess it's a perspective of the same waiting room with two different perspectives. The first perspective, I was in, you know, the waiting room waiting on my MRI to see, you know, if the cancer, you know, where it was and how bad it was. And I was alone and afraid and didn't trust God's plan, hadn't even really seeked out God's plan for my life. And I was gripped with fear, paralyzed with fear, and felt really alone. But then after I got my footing and I prayed that prayer and God started showing up and showing me that he is with me, and he did not forsake me. The same waiting room, I experienced something that I had never experienced. I've always had faith. Faith has never been a problem for me. I had to put my faith to action and get out of the boat and set my eyes on him. And, you know, faith without action is just, it's not much. And at that point in that waiting room, I actually experienced something that I'd never experienced, something that I was really lacking in my Christian walk, was a peace that transcends all understanding. And I did experience that in that waiting room. I was not fearful the second time when I was waiting to see if the cancer had spread. I wasn't fearful at all. I was praising God. I'm so thankful. I'm not thankful that I got cancer. Nobody's thankful that you got cancer. But I am thankful that I am so much closer to God. And I have that peace that transcends all understanding. And one scripture that has come up through all of this is Philippians 4:6-7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving," you've got to have that thanksgiving, "present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Jesus Christ." It was so illogical that I was in that waiting room and I experienced that peace. But I did. And people wonder, you know, how I can praise God while fighting cancer. He is a good God, you all. And he has a plan for my life. And this testimony is part of it, because I prayed in my prayers that he would give me a testimony that would glorify his name. He didn't only give me a testimony, he gave me a platform. And I am forever grateful and encouraged. And I want to encourage you. And I want you to know that He has a plan for you. He has a plan for all of us. You just have to step out in faith. Put your action in faith. Step out of the boat onto the water. And keep your eyes fixed on Him. And He can get you through everything. I will praise Him through this storm. And my name is Michelle Adams. And I am the blood-bought daughter of the Most High God. And I hope this encourages you.
I want to thank her for doing that video. She is doing good right now. She had more treatment this week and has a long road ahead, so keep her in your prayers. But she believes, and we believe, that all of us who love God, we believe He has a plan and a purpose for our life. And church, God will use many things to draw us to Him. God will use the mountains of life, and He will use the valleys of life to allow us to experience Him and to see Him work. Isaiah 55:8, I think of one time I was in a very dark situation with a family in a hospital of a terrible situation that had happened. And I remember thinking of this scripture. Isaiah 55:8 says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Church, many times we ask God for strength, and He allows us to have difficulties to make us strong. We ask God for wisdom, and God gives us problems to solve. We ask God for courage, and He gives us dangers to overcome. We ask God to help us to love, and He gives us troubled people in our lives to love. Many times God doesn't answer the way that we want, right? He doesn't answer on our terms, but it's all a part of His perfect plan. Scripture says that He is the potter and we are the clay, and He is molding and making us into this masterpiece that He has. He has this beautiful plan for your life and for your future and for your family and for your kids and your loved ones. But it's His plan. And sometimes we just don't understand. We don't have all the answers. I don't have the answers of why Michelle's going through this, but I trust that God has a plan. I trust that He sees it all. And I know that He loves Michelle and has a plan for her life, just like many of you that are facing similar situations, or you know somebody. And He's using it for her good and His glory. And like she said, He is giving her a testimony and a story to tell. We don't know why there's sickness and pain and death and cancer. We just know that we live in a sinful, broken, fallen world. And it's going to be like this until He returns and He makes all things new. And I long for that day. Amen? But church, we know the One who is bigger than everything we face. And even though we don't understand, we can trust Him and His plan for our lives. Why, church? Because if we have called upon His name, then we are His children. And what father doesn't want the very best for his kids? Our Father's goal is that we know Him and love Him and experience Him and His will for our life. Is life always easy? Heck no, it is hard, right? I know that there's many of you even right now that there's some days you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get through today. I don't know how I'm going to get through this situation in my life. I don't know how I'm going to get through the sickness or the trouble or the financial or the marriage or the kids. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. But church, this morning we can trust Him. Why? Because God never acts contrary to His nature. 1 John 4:16 says this: "And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us." We rely on it. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Church, He is love. And he loves us. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who what? Those who love him and who have been called according to what? His purpose. Not your purpose, not your plans, but his plan for our life. And Michelle can say that because she loves him. He is working for her good and his glory. And you want to know God's will for your life, church? Take your eyes off yourself. She talked about that in that video when everything turned around in her life, when she started realizing it's not just about me. It's about him and his plan for my life. And church, before God will begin to reveal his will to you, you must be committed to doing whatever it is that he desires you to do. Let me say that again. Before God will begin to reveal his will to you many times, you must be committed to doing whatever it is he's going to ask you to do. Because it's highly unlikely that God's going to show you his plan for your life if he already knows it's going to be a no. Right? If God knows that he's going to ask you, I'm going to ask that person to leave everything to follow me. And somebody's like, well, I don't think I want to know God's will anymore because I don't think I can say yes to what he'll ask of me. Church, when your life is a yes to God, no matter what, let me say, when your life is a yes, God, no matter what you ask me, you'll find yourself in the center of God's will. And when you have given him a blank check to your life, God, my hands are open, I surrender. I'm going to go through the doors that you open, and I'm not going to enter the doors that you keep closed. His will prevail in your life. We've read this scripture numerous times here. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. Church, he's watching to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed to him. He longs to strengthen you this morning for his will to prevail in your life. But what does the passage end with? For those hearts who are fully committed to him. Church, you want to know his will? Be fully committed to him. Be fully surrendered to him. White flag in the air. God, you are in control of my life. There's no other king on the throne of my life. I'm tired of being in control. And when that happens, you will experience the power of God in your life. And you will begin to see his will prevail in your life. He will begin to open and close doors that you can never imagine or fathom. He will initiate things and circumstances in your life that you can't make up. I know there have been seasons where I have seek God's will with all my heart. I know that there have been seasons in my life where I know I said, God, I need an answer. And there was no doubt that God revealed his plan to me through his word, through other believers that confirmed that, by him shutting doors completely and opening other doors, that he was not going to make me have to guess his plan for my life. But for that to happen, I had to surrender to him. And he will confirm questions that you have through his word. Things that weren't clear will become clear. Why? Because your life is beginning to come in tune with him. You know, as I think of this, our lives being in tune with Christ and how important that is, as I was working on this message, it made me think of old car radios. When I was a kid, my dad had a really old Chevrolet truck, and it had a radio like this in it. Anybody ever have one of these in a vehicle when they grew up? Some of you older folks, yeah, and some of you remember. It kind of sounds like this. They're going to play it. Now, some of y'all, that reminds you of 1965 and a girlfriend that you had, and y'all was riding in a car. I told some of our first service, you need to repent of what happened that night, but but the truth is this. There's many whose lives are not in tune. You can't hear the station good unless it's tuned just right, and you're hearing a lot of static and noise. And some of you, you can't hear God for all the other noise. Your life is not in tune with Him. You can't hear His voice. You can't hear His plan and His will for your life because you just hear everything else. And He has a word for you. He's got a word for you, church. But many of you, you're not in His word. You don't have godly people in your life speaking truth into your life. You want to experience God? Do you really? Start looking around you where He is working and join Him. Because church, He is always working. Why has God blessed Nineveh so much? Because we believe that this is absolute truth and we're not going to compromise it. No matter what the culture says, we're going to hold true to God's word. And He is working because of that. And because of that, many have wanted to join in what God is doing here because they have seen Him working and they want to experience what you have experienced. But church, we must be willing to say yes to Him. You see, if God wants to do something unusual, He'll take care of it. He'll provide. He is Jehovah Jireh. You know the story of the ram in the thicket and on the mountain of the Lord. God provides. He provided for Abraham when he was about to slay his son. God is a provider. You say, for example, that God wants you to go to Egypt. If that's the case, then God will provide 11 jealous brothers and they'll send you into slavery. And we laugh and we think, oh, that's funny, but that's the truth. God wanted to use Joseph. And you know the story. His brothers sell him into slavery and they fake his death and he has ups and downs and he's in prison and all. You know all the drama of it. But Joseph ends up being number two in command right under Pharaoh. And God uses Joseph to deliver his family and his people. And I love these words of Joseph in Genesis 50 verse 20. It says this: you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. And church, that is applicable to your lives today. The enemy has meant a lot of evil in a lot of your lives, but God wants to use it for good. Many of you, you've been going through some really awful stuff and some really hard stuff, and God wants to use the troubles and pains of your life for your good and His glory. God used it for Joseph. And God will always find someone. He'll find someone that's willing to say yes. I don't know about you, but I want to be that person that He uses. I don't want to miss out on His blessing and favor in my life. I don't want to bless out on His will prevailing in my life. I don't want my kids to miss out on His plan for their life. I want them to go on that narrow road and find God's plan for their life. As I was wrapping up working on this message, this passage kept coming to my mind, the Lord's Prayer. And He says, this is how you should pray. And He talks about God's will in this prayer. I want you to read this with me. In Matthew 6, 9, it says this. Then this is how you should pray. Read this with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Church, may that be our prayer. That God, Your kingdom come. And God, Your will be done in my life. Not my will. God, my prayer is that Your will would be done in my life, that Your will would be done in my family, that Your will would be done in my children that I'm worried about, that Your will would be done in my finances that I'm troubled over, that Your will would be done in my sickness, in my diagnosis, with my kids. You fill in the blank with the job. God, Your will be done. You know, I know it was God's plan that I preached this sermon. I was studying scripture, and it was like, this is what you have to talk about. I already had something else, another sermon I was going to talk about. He's like, no, this is what you're going to do. I'm like, I'm going to have to write another sermon. He's like, I don't care. You're going to write a sermon about my will. But that's how it works. God has a perfect plan, and God doesn't make mistakes. And because of that, I know that there's somebody in this room today who needed to hear this. Why? Because maybe you're struggling to make a very important decision in your life. And some of you, you've been praying for days, weeks, months, even years about it. And you're just like, God, I just want to know your will. God, I just want to know your plan for my life, for my family, or my kids, or this job. I don't know what to do. Church, you want to know God's will? Surrender to Him. You won't have to guess. He will make it clear. But you need to understand, it's not always in your timing. See, God doesn't live on our schedule and our timing. We are a want it now culture. I think of scripture, the story of Abraham. Abraham waited 25 years to have a son. It was God's timing. I think of Moses. He waited 40 years before leading the Israelites out of Egypt. 40 years. It was God's timing. I think of Joseph. He waited 13 years in slavery. 13 years before being elevated to power. I think of Job as he waited through suffering in God's timing. I think of David as he was waited to be appointed for king. I could go on and on, and maybe some of you in this room, you're in the waiting. Church, I challenge you, I encourage you, stay faithful. He sees you and He loves you and He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Don't give up. You might see like it's a dead end, but He sees the big picture and He sees the future, and you're just seeing tunnel vision right now, and God sees this beautiful plan for your life and this beautiful picture that He's trying to paint. But we have to trust Him. Church, today, give it all to Him. And He will take what the enemy is meant for evil, and He will turn it for good. I think about the video of Michelle and her testimony. God is working for her good and His glory. And because she loves God, she can trust that He's working it out. He's given her a story. And He's given you, church, a story. And as I talked to Michelle the other day, you know, she can know she's in the center of His will. Why? Because she loves God. And she told me that God has used this to draw her closer to Him than she would have ever been on the other side. And as hard as that is, there's many of you in your life that you've experienced that. There's been some valleys that you've gone through that you didn't enjoy, but God used it to mold and to make you into the person that you are. And God has a plan. Church, today is His plan prevailing in your life. Is His plan prevailing in your life, or is your plan in the way? Are you still in control? Are you still in the driver's seat? You know, I was driving down the road the other day, and I got behind a car, and it was like, God is my co-pilot or something like that. And I was like, God should really be your pilot, but whatever. You want to know God's will, church? Know Him deeply. Commune with Him daily. Experience Him and surrender to Him, and you won't have to guess. You will know His will and His plan for your life. Join Him in what He is doing around you. And today, if you have pain or hurt, you fill in the blank, we serve a God who is bigger than anything you face. We just have to trust Him. We have to give control to Him. We have to let Him initiate. We have to let Him open and close the door. Stop trying to push a rope. Stop trying to push a rope. That's what many of you have been doing, trying to make things work according to your schedule and your plans, and you see how it works out. Let Him write your story, and you will see a victory because He is the one who is fighting on your behalf. He will take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good. Corey and the band is going to come out as I close. They're going to put up on the screen our church logo. And under our church logo, I've been like this since, I don't know, 2002 or something like that. It says, Nineveh Christian Church, seeking God's will, what? God's way. And you're like, well, that's pretty simple, right? It might be the hardest thing you ever do. Because every day you're going to wake up and you're going to want to see God. That's the easy part for us to say, I want to see God today. But guess what? Tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and you're going to say, I'm going to see God today, but you're going to want to do it your way. And you're going to want to do it on your terms and you're going to want to do it on your conditions because you're comfortable. And you might like how some things are playing out in your life and you really don't want that to change. But you got to trust that God knows and has such a better plan for your life than you could ever imagine or fathom, but you're going to have to give him control. And so some of you today, you've been seeking God's will, but it's been your way. And today, some of you need to say, I'm tired of doing things my way. God, I'm going to give you control of my life. I don't want to be a Jonah. Jonah tried to do things his way. He's trying to seek God, but God, I'm going to do my way. I don't really want any whales to pop up in my life. His plan is so much better. And so they're going to sing a song today. It's actually a new song, and the song is this. It starts off, the first line says this, no longer I who live, but Christ in me. And today, some of you need to die to yourself and say, God, you're going to have to live through me because I don't know your plan and I don't know your will, but I know that you want to do something in my life, and I want to be used for your glory. So God, you're going to have to make it clear. If you got something for me, God, I pray that as hard as it is, you close the doors. Don't let me go through them. God, open the doors that you want me to go through. Speak to me through your word. God, I'm going to fall on my knees every day. And when you start doing that, and you be prepared, because he will show up when you honor him. Church, if you want to know God's will, know God. Know him deeply. Let's stand as we have this time of invitation.